we live in a world where sin is glorified, immorality is cheered, it's raved. Those that do right are looked down upon. I know it's always been that way, but it seems the pace has been quickening of how quickly things are completely turned upside down. What's, black is white, up is down. It's just, and I know things have been bad for a long time. You think of Noah, how bad things were back then, Sodom and Gomorrah. You think of the Israelite nation after Joshua and his rulers, and everybody did was right in their own eyes. So I know we're no different today, but it just seems like it's, there's, 50, 70 of us here today. There's others that wish they could be here, but, we're definitely the minority, and you see that in the Bible. The minority is always in the right, or not always in the right, but the right's in the minority, put it that way. So I'm not going to say anything new to you today that you haven't heard. I hope not anyway. My goal is to bring things to remembrance, to edify us, to maybe build up our faith to, yes, we're in the minority. We believe things that are not commonplace anymore, that are not widely accepted. But that's okay. We believe things because they're in the Bible, not because we were taught those by our parents or that we learned from our grandparents, or because those things change. Our culture changes what's right and what's wrong. And that's not really the way it should be. It's what's right and wrong is what's in the Bible, what God tells us in his apostles. So that was kind of my mindset of where we're at today with this lesson is, the world needs to know some things. And we already know that we know all these things. We need to remember them and not let the outside world pressure us to think differently or change our views or soften our views, because that's how we slide is, well, it's okay. It's, it's just this or it's just that, or, it's love. So, no, it's wrong is wrong. Right is right, no matter how popular or how few people believe it. So I've got, think about Elijah in 1 Kings 19. If you remember kind of the story, Elijah just witnessed a miracle from God and defeated the prophets of Baal. But he's still in a bad place. 1 Kings 19, chapter 10. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken the commandments, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I'm alone and left. They see my life taken away. He knows what God can do, but yet he's still in a bad place. He feels like he's the only one. And we can feel that way. We can feel like, man, there's no one believes the way I do. And that's not accurate. I mean, we're definitely a small number. We're in the minority. But not, look at this number here that we all, I feel confident that believe everything I have on here that's correct, is accurate, and it's the word of God. And so, but God comes back and he tries to encourage Elijah in verse 18. Yet I will leave 7,000 Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So Elijah wasn't alone, nor are we. That's why we're here, to encourage one another, help one another in these low times when our faith might get a little low. That, why do I believe this? Why does no one else believe this anymore? We got to start at the beginning, to establish the base is God. He's the creator of all things. I'm not going to read Genesis 1 and 2. We know what that says. It's the creation of the world, creation of man and woman, animals, it's a family. It's the beginning of everything we have. It's where it starts. I will turn with you to John chapter 1. I think sometimes this is a forgotten fact. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart nothing came into the being that's come into being. So those who are going to believe evolution or believe the Big Bang Theory or that God did not create, we're also saying Jesus is a liar. Jesus wasn't there. I don't think people realize what they're saying when they believe those certain things, or say that God didn't create all this. You're saying that, well, then Jesus wasn't there. He was involved in everything. We know, obviously, in Jesus 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he was part of the creation. He was there with God doing it. And Paul also kind of started the same place I'm trying to start. Acts 17. He's in Athens, an idolatrous city, city of the world. He even tells them, starting in verse 22. So Paul's still in the midst there. Areopagus, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through examining the objects of your worship, I found an altar to the inscription to the unknown God. So the people of Athens are so religious, they don't want to include anybody out. If we forgot somebody, this is to the unknown God. But he tells them from the beginning, this God who made the world and all things in it, he is Lord of heaven. He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all the people life and breath of all things. He made from one man every nation of mankind to be on the face of the earth, having determined that appointed times and the boundaries of habitation. God started it all. It's where Paul tells these people, it's where we need to start too. God's the beginning of everything. Go back to Acts 14 as well. Paul and Barnabas. If you remember, they heal the man. Verse 10. He said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. He leapt and began to walk. And the people were amazed and wanted to make them as gods. Verse 12. They would call him Barnabas, Zeus, and Paul Hermes, and became, he was the chief speaker. The priest of Jesus from the temple. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But Paul's like, no, don't do that. Verse 15, he said, men, why are you doing these things? We're also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to those that should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. So even Paul's an apostle. He's trying to tell his people, hey, it's not me. It's God who's doing all these things. So he's the beginning. He's the reason. He's the reason we're here, if you will. So these few verses I've gone over, and obviously we could do a whole class or a whole quarter on just one of these verses, one of these topics. But it's these truths that dictate our lives. God's the author of our, author of the whole world. We answer to our high authority. He's the one who created us. We live under his grace, his mercy, love, and judgment, the one true God. And I think that's kind of where it starts to fall apart for people, is when you have a higher authority, you have someone you have to answer to, then I can't do what I want to do. There's someone else I have to think about. Therefore, there's a standard. Any questions, comments, observations before we move on to other verses?
Well, you can see that's happening in the world with this woke nonsense where a man can claim he's a identified female. That contradicts everything God said. God said he created them male and female. He created, you know, Eve from Adam's rib. And, you know, a husband or wife will leave their father and parents and cleave unto each other. I mean, it's just madness that they're actually trying to pollute the children's mind with this nonsense.
100% Alex. I mean, there's things that we've had to deal with that, you know, are accepted or you see on TV that, I didn't know what, you know, they didn't exist when I was a kid. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken, but I mean, I, you know, that I'm sure my grandparents never even knew existed. And thankfully so. Yeah, it's a difficult time we live in. And, you know, I'm a certain age, but what about our children and grandchildren? That they're going to, stuff that they're going to deal with now is it's accepted. Before, if it's accepted, then it's going to be encouraged. So it's a slippery slope. So turn me to Romans chapter 1. Obviously, this is Paul talking. It just says, it does not seem to fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. I basically just gave you the nightly news right there. There's things we can and cannot do. There's morals. There's standards. There's Now, some things are we have to interpret, but there's many things that are not. Inventors of evil, it's always stuck out at me as people just want to do bad things. And there's bad people in this world. Let's go ahead and go to Galatians 5. Verse 14. For the whole law is justified in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's five words in my simple East Texas math. But what weight that carries. Remember the times when you didn't have to lock your doors, your car doors, your house doors. People come borrow stuff and it's back before you knew it was gone. And this is not it's neighbor next door, yes, but it's also my fellow man. How far we have come from these five words, how far we have removed ourselves from this. And obviously it's an issue there too, or you wouldn't be telling them this. We see it back in Israel, how they cheated each other, cheated on the scales. They were cheating their neighbors. We become, I guess, love of ourselves. I don't know what it is. We're trying to get over on somebody, so we're going to get over on our fellow man. But that's not acceptable. It's not, it's just bad for us. This is the world, one of the things the world should know. This is not acceptable for God. You want to add anything before I move on to Philippians?
Neil, not to back up, but it's interesting when you talk about our behavior tying into God being the creator of all things. Back in Romans, you read down a little bit lower, but it talks about 8 through 21, 22. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known by God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Now he's talking about idolatry here, because it talks about they exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for the image of in the form of a corruptible man. So you can look around and see God exists, but we need to get out of our own way. We continue to exalt ourselves. We continue to be foolish, become futile in our speculations, professing to be wise, we become fools. You know, this can describe our country and our world today. We choose not to see what is right in front of our faces, and so in doing so, we become these fools. We become corrupted, and we become what he's talking about here.
Maybe I'm simplifying this, Keith, but it's like it comes down to really two options. Either people don't know, and there's people who truly, don't know, right or wrong, some of the details, or they just don't care anymore. They knew and they forgot. They don't care either. They're not concerned about their future. They're not concerned what God's going, what God's going to say. But yeah, yes, you can look around. You can look around and know that God exists between the nature and the seasons and the intricacy of the human body. Pick an example of how we know that there is a God. But people just choose not to listen, follow, obey, or inquire to see what he says about this. He's inquired how I should live, how I should treat my fellow man, or my spouse, or my coworker. Turn me to Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfless or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others, having this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus. It's not always about me. I mean, I don't know how more simple this can be. I mean, care about some other people, help other people, whether it's your children, your spouse, your brothers, sisters in Christ, just the guy at work. I mean, it's not all about me. We need to help others where we can, consider others, have some self-awareness. That is a dying breed, in my opinion, of self-awareness. Do you have something, Don?
I was just going to comment. I think it's sad to say, but I feel like at times there are a whole section of printed Bibles that do not have this verse in there, this section, because in today's society, I am seeing more and more, if you do not agree with me, you must hate me.
Yep.
And it's not about you. It's the selfish attitude, unfortunately, is a wildfire in today's society, and it's scary.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's where and far be it for me to have the current hip terms, but cancer culture, all that. I mean, you know, if we can't agree on, you know, everything, then we can't be friends, we can't be family. You know, that's nothing but the devil's lies that, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. We're not going to agree on everything on some biblical issues, but we still can be kind. We still can be helpful to one another. We still can love one another.
Neil, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
In your training, you're in a position of leadership. Has your company tried to train you in this new society, telling you that you've got to be inclusive and include other people's ideas, whatever they are, morally and so forth?
I would say there's definitely fringes of it.
I know, but
inclusive is a word.
Training goes fast, and that's what they were.
Yes.
She didn't have to agree to it. That's what they were telling her. You got to be inclusive. We want to include everybody. Of course, it went on to say, they say, you know, you can't say homosexuality is wrong. Wait a minute. I thought you were going to include everybody. Well, as long as you don't say homosexuality is wrong. In other words, those who believe it's wrong are not included.
Well, no, Steve, we have an LGBTQ group. I mean, what are you talking about? That's what everybody does now. And we can put it on our website and our LinkedIn thing. That's that we're, you know, we're progressive.
You started with God, and that verse you read in Acts 17, that's where they were.
Yeah.
There's a God we may not know about. We want to get them all.
Get them all.
We're going to include them all.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I would say most people probably don't agree with a lot of stuff we see today in the world as far as, you know, the common good folk. But it's the loud people that shout everybody down, and everybody is sometimes scared to speak up and say, no, this is not right. You rarely see that. They're shouted down or fired or canceled, whatever you want to call. But, I mean, some of that is, let's call a spade, this is not right. But, you know, everybody's got job, you know, bills to pay, and sometimes it's easier to keep my mouth shut. So, and it's not... My personal opinion, it's not going back. It's not going backwards. It's how do we fight it where we can? How do we teach our children this is not correct? This is what you hear, but this is not correct. This is not what God says. This is not Neil's message or Amanda's message. This is God's message. And turn to the verse. It's no different than evolution. It's you know, God created the world, and that's a controversial thing now. You know, I say all that and I digress. I was shocked about being too strong of a word, but I was definitely pleasantly surprised with the young man from Buffalo Bills that had the heart issue on the field. How many times do you see people were praying for him? My goodness, we actually can say prayer. Guy on ESPN actually said a prayer on TV, and everybody was shocked. So I was like, well, what are we praying to then? We're praying, because I'm praying to a God. What are y'all praying to? There's one true living God. That's who we're praying for this young man. So every now and then you see flashes of, okay, there's still some decency in the world. There's some people that still get it, but we're being shouted down quickly. Anything else before we move on? All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You can see these all kind of dovetail together or chained. We can't think of the interests of others if we have anger, wrath, malice, if we're looking to do bad things to people. But obviously this was an issue for the Ephesians, so it's a warning for us. Yeah, we can get mad about things. We can get mad at our family members, mad at coworkers, mad at our neighbor because his dog gets loose. Whatever. But we're not supposed to be this way. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. I can be kind sometimes. Oh, that forgiving part can be a little more difficult. I might forgive, but I'm not going to forget. I know. I remember what they did. Anyone who had messed up before, raise your hand. We all need to be forgiven. We all need to be forgiven by a family member, a brother or sister in Christ. We've all made mistakes. But kind of what Don said earlier, I'm not going to be kind. I disagree with everybody. We disagree on something. I can't be kind to them. I can't speak to them. We can't be in the same room. We can't coexist. And that's how churches break up. That's how families break up. And all that is just the joy of the devil. Let's go back up to Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will be grace to those who hear. And turn with me over to James chapter 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so they will obey us, we will direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships. Although they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, whatever the indication of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a force is set afire with such a small fire. My goodness, the things you hear on TV. That's one of the things that's rapidly changed that you hear on TV. Just ABC 13, stuff that it's not cable, it's not some late night deal. Just how far and bad our vernacular, our verbiage has become. The words we use, the manner of speech. Not only so the words that we use, how do we say it? The manner and tone of words are just as important as the words we actually use. But words around the office is, you know, detestable. It's embarrassing. Craig?
This passage, Ephesians 4:29, talks about having words of grace. I was thinking about when Jesus was talking to, he was in the midst of the synagogue back in the 5th chapter 4. When he was reading from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Preach the gospel to the poor, he was trying to heal the brokenhearted. And it says there that, he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And then Luke says, all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, you will surely say to this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. You know, he was in a group of hostiles, if I might say. And yet he was preaching good news. And if we as Christians go out to the world and understand there's a lot of hostility towards God, but there are people that have hearts to listen, hearts like Nicodemus. People that if we have, Jamie and I were just talking to a couple that was dating, and they understood that we were together for 30 years. And the gentleman had a parents that divorced, and he said maybe if they just were to work on these things for the last time. They asked us, why, how can we be together so long? Because they see divorce, you know, left and right. And you can take those opportunities to teach about God and the love that comes from understanding that same thing. And we spoke to them a couple of words, and the reaction was taken aback. Wow, you know, you guys really need to talk to more people share this information about how to save the other someone. There's a lot of people out there that they see all this stuff and they see all the bad that's affecting them. And even though they may not have a faith or believe in God, they're willing to sit down and listen to gracious words.
Yeah, that's a good point, Greg. I mean, people see the bad, they just don't know how to find the good. They haven't found the good yet. And that's where we come from. Sometimes we're the only good. Alex?
Company I'm currently working for is actually making a big push. They did this up in at headquarters up in Toronto, and they've gotten like fantastic results. And that communicate with courtesy to each other, and that's within the company. And one of the things they talk about its tone? Are you harsh when you talk to people? You know, just learning to speak gently to people makes a big difference. And just to show you that, even sometimes people in the world will realize that the things God says do work.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a book with all the solutions, isn't it? I mean, and some of that is, honestly, because of Zoom and team meetings now. You don't see body language. You might not even see them at all. You lose that interpersonal relationship. You can't sit across the table. And I know for me, when I'm one of those, I don't make small talk. You don't ask how was your weekend? How are your kids? You lose that, relationship. But that's, I hate this term, but it is what it is. That's Zoom and Team is here to stay. That's how companies use to communicate. It's cheaper, it's faster, it's quicker, and all that is true, but there is some downside to that. And Craig, going back to your point, I mean, it's, marriage is all this, right? Humility, kind words, interest of others, love your neighbor as yourself, the standard, morals, all that goes into being a marriage, right? Yeah, there are times, man, it might be mad at me, but it's you don't get to 19 years without, doing something right every now and then. So there's part of that, and that's all goes into it. Anything else before we jump down to some responsibilities? Don?
Going back to the language as well. And the language that is being used in offices, like you did mention, or in companies these days, 20 years ago, would never have been accepted. The choice words. And I have had moments at my company where I'm at now where I've had to say something. I was like, y'all are making my ears bleed. Y'all need to stop. I'm going to put a cuss jar in my office and I will become rich.
Sometimes we just need to shut up. That's a lost art. It's closing your mouth.
It is a lost art, yes. But by me making comments, I do see where some of them are actually trying to control their words in my hearing.
He brought it to their attention. They almost didn't realize it. Because that's acceptable. You hear it on TV or the office next door or at home. That's the norm now.
Yeah. And one of the girls made a comment, well, I'm used to working with a bunch of guys. I'm not a guy. I don't want to hear it.
Well, I'll let you in a little secret.
It has nothing to do with guys.
Women can talk worse than guys can. Yes. Yeah.
I know.
So, yeah, I've heard that too, but I was like, that's not always accurate. So, I had a college professor one time said that when people use foul language, it's because they're not smart enough to come up with anything else.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. Pretty accurate, really, as you get older. Like, yeah, that's just the bottom of the barrel. That's not appropriate. Let's jump over to Ephesians 6. So I guess I focused on the negative, the con, however you want to say it. How do we stop this? How do we prevent this? Well, this is some responsibilities. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. I'm going to go in. So that it may be well with you and that you will live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I would submit to you, I got to do 4, verse 4 first, to make 1 and 2 a whole lot easier. I have to rear my children to honor their father and mother, honor their grandparents, honor their elders. That's a lost art in the world. When someone, you hear someone say, yes, sir, or no, ma'am, it almost takes you back. Oh, I thought people didn't say that anymore because you never hear it. So, yes, as a father and mother, we have responsibilities to raise our children. And it's not easy. It's the world's stacked against us. It's okay to do what you want. It's okay if you don't feel that way. You can talk back to your parents. You just don't have to do it at all. Well, that's going to lead to bad things, and you see it every day play out on the news. People doing what they want, hurting other people, hurting themselves. And as children, we're supposed to honor, obey. Honor means what? Give reverence to. I'm not to always agree with what my father and mother say, but I have to honor them. I have to respect them. I have to respect their opinion. Obviously, if they're doing something ungodly or immoral, that's a different story. We're talking about just in general. parent-child relationship. And some parents make it very difficult for their kids to honor them. They see what their parents do. They see the language. They see the activities. They see the behavior. It's very difficult to do. It's not... Drop down to 5 and 9. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing with the will of God from others. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that both their master and you, yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. God sees all. God sees what kind of employee we are. It's always kind of, I know it, but when you read it, it's like, God cares about what kind of employee I am. God cares. God knows if I'm slacking off. I might be hurting the company, but God's not pleased with that. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, by way of eye service as men pleasers, oh, I'm just going to do this because I really like it. No, do it because God commands me to. God wants me to do this. It talks about masters. Yes, we don't have masters and slaves anymore. We have employees and employers. It's the same principle. Yes, we all have a boss at some level. How do we treat our employees? With kindness, humility, interest of others? Are they just a number, or do we know anything about them? If I'm an employee, do I think they care about me? Do I give them a good service so that they can care about me, they can be interested in me? Questions, comments, concerns? Craig?
In this section, the service is given as to Christ. And I like some of these comparisons because sometimes in our worship of God, we fail in these areas too. Are we sincere with our worship to God? Are we just trying to be giving lip service or be men pleasers or just follow the motions? So how are we addressing our God? Are we following the commandments with grumbling and complaining? Or are we finding them in joy to serve our master? And so likewise, even though the people around us may be at work just goofing off or just getting done what they need to get done to get by, that's not how we're supposed to treat things, because that's not how God wants us to treat them. We're to give it our commitment and be sincere about it and do things in a proper manner, just like we're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, are we thankful that we have a job? There's probably many people out there that wish they had one. And this is a free country. If I don't like this job, I have the ability, I have the freedom to go find something different. You know, without a job, I can't pay bills. I can't provide for my family. I can't. There's some worthiness to me to work, to earn money for yourself. We've lost that in this country, the desire to work, to provide for you and your family. It's we give. No, you need to work for things. Goes back to raising your children. What are we teaching them? It's okay to work. It's okay to get dirty. Get your hands rough a little bit. The employee relationship. You know, if we don't slack off, man, no one sees that. I'm over here playing. What if the company doesn't do well and shuts down? We're all out of a job. How does that feel? Much less. Obviously, what you mentioned, Craig, what Christ feels about it, what God feels about it, there's some real applications in the real world. Romans 13. Every person is to be subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Those are easy words to read, but depending on where you are, what administration is in authority in governing, this can be hard. I don't agree with a lot of things our government does. Where they spend our money on, what they stand for. But here I'm in subjection to them. I'm supposed to pay my taxes. I don't like paying taxes. I think they're too high and they waste my money. But if I'm supposed to please God, this is what I'm supposed to do. And it doesn't say if you agree with it or you got an R by your name or you D by your name, but you don't have to. It's Alex?
What you think about it, the apostles encourage everybody to pray for the government, pray for the leaders, pray for the king. Think about what the Christians went through, the government they were subjected under. It was the Roman Empire. I think you think we have it tough here? My goodness, those guys make our government look like a bunch of Boy Scouts. They were mean. I mean, you really had no freedom whatsoever. For every free man, there were three slaves, and they took just about 60 or 80% of your income, depending on what you did for a living. So under all these circumstances, the apostles encouraged Christians to pray for the leaders, pray for the king, pray for the government.
Absolutely. It's not always easy to do. But what's the opposite of this? We can't have anarchy. We got to have rules. We can't have people doing what they want. That's right, we did that in Judges, and it didn't work, did it? It was right in their own eyes.
Neil, something that I think we do forget, and I don't want to derail the class, but something that I think that we can look in and take note of is Paul appealing to the citizenship. You know, sometimes in our country, the loudest voice is the one that's heard, and not always a good thing.
Correct.
We also have rights as citizens. I was talking about freedom. We should not only pray for our officials, but we should take action. And I'm not saying go start a rally campaign, get into politics, that sort of thing. But we have the simplest of opportunities to go and vote for these leaders, to drop a letter to them, you know, at least to be heard, because in doing so we can defend or explain our faith and why we believe what we believe, and maybe get ourselves back into a situation where, yeah, we may disagree on certain things, but we can coexist, and love governs the relationships that we have. We should take that opportunity to make the change. I can pray all day long, but I should also strive to do what Paul did, which would be to appeal to the citizenship and opportunities that I have to speak to people, whether it be our, especially local government. You see this happening more and more now in a good and bad way. You see people not voting, and you see how many times elections have been lost in the last 4 years where it's been by a small margin. You see a good thing happening now where people are talking about, we talk about government, governing authorities, not about school boards, where parents are speaking out to school boards.
Yep.
We should be discussing and proclaiming our faith and those sort of things in and around this arena so that, you know, it's not just a matter of just getting on my knees and pray. How about I go and do something? God's given me that ability as well.
Absolutely. We have freedoms and responsibilities with that. I mean, and the school board's a good thought of stopping some of this foolishness, you know. Girls go to the girls' bathroom, boys go to the boys' bathroom. That shouldn't be revolutionary thinking. But, I mean, when it makes news, like, oh, they decided that. What? So, yeah, let's exercise our rights that we have in this country, just like Paul's example. Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did your name cast out demons? In your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. There's a lot of good people who we view as good people, our neighbors, family members, friends. They're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. They haven't. They may not do all these things, but they either haven't been baptized, they don't stay faithful, they haven't done what they're supposed to do. They haven't followed the guidelines, the standard. There's many people who believe in God, who your neighbors will say, oh yes, absolutely I believe in God. But if you show them this verse, they would be aghast. What do you mean? I'm a good person. I go to church for Easter and Christmas every year. But the Lord tells us, this is a warning. This is a warning to the world. It's a warning to us. That just because you say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. I'm a good person. I'll throw a few bucks in the plate, help my neighbor out. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm just a good person. That's not the case, I believe, is what he's telling us here. That's all I have.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
You can comment on it, or maybe some of the other people here in a work environment. You pointed out all these verses that talk about the right kind of speech and the love we ought to have. In your work environment or somebody else in the class, if you express disagreement with moral conduct or language or even talk about work, people not treating their employer right, have you experienced, or do you experience, you know, Satan's smart, he turns God's word, twists them and turns them against him, like, you should not eat of the tree. No, no, what God's trying to do is keep you from getting wise and being like God, so he turns it against God. So, has any of you experienced this vision that's going on now? Well, would you say something about my moral position that hate speech? Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you supposed to love people?
I referenced that. It's, you know, God has grace, mercy, and love, but there's also judgment. They forget about the judgment piece. I think you've mentioned it many times, that they just view God as this kind of old loving grandfather, and it'll be okay, and there. You know, you really shouldn't do that, but God loves everybody, so I think that's a general... Because if you think different than that, then that means I got to act a certain way, I'm accountable. And people don't want to be accountable. For their souls, for their work, for their behavior, for their raising of children, we don't hold people accountable anymore. And that starts when 18 months, 2 years, and you can't do that when they're 15. So we've, no different than the Israelites, we've, in some ways, the world has failed their children to rear them, and we have this society now that expects everything for free, doesn't want to work. If you say anything bad at me, it's on you. You're mean-spirited. So, I mean, that's obviously my two cents. So, Craig?
I'm going to add to that. I'm in a work environment where I've been labeled a motivational speaker, and I give talks from time to time. And my particular company and my team has individuals that believe in God. And I've used God and the Bible in our presentation, no problem. The inclusiveness discussions are kind of like that too. The idea is that they don't want a hostile work environment. So it's not so much, going around saying, you're a homosexual or you're sinning. The idea is, no matter what the message is, whether it's religious or non-religious, they don't want a hostile work environment. So different places, different more woke companies will have a different, bandwidth of that. They may ostracize people that have people of faith. The idea is not talking to somebody in a hostile manner, which means you're trying to teach them the truth about God and say, it's not right, it's not natural for you to have this desire towards them. That's just inappropriate discussion to begin with, because that's creating a hostile work environment. That's a term they use.
Oh, yeah.
For inclusiveness. Inclusiveness, our company means everybody should feel welcome in the work environment.
I mean, most people don't like confrontation, so we're just going to go along. And my opinion is a lot of people are sheep. If 99 people go in this direction, well, I don't want to be different. I want to go too. I don't want to be questioned why I'm doing something different. If I'm in the group, that group herd mentality, I'm safe. No one's going to attack me if I'm with everybody else. And so that's part of it too. You just, even if that's not what you believe, you don't voice it. You don't have concerns. I mean, you said you can do it in a tactful, respectful manner, but they're going to, a certain group, they're going to shout you down. They're going to try to overpower you.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
One thing I notice on TV a lot that's more and more, that when the person is grieving or whatever, well, my son and my daughter are looking down from heaven and they're watching over me, and I think, do they really know God? It's not happening. They can't see. down here. We can't see up there. So they're misled. You know, and you want to talk to them, but they're on TV. There's more and more of that on TV that, you know, they're looking down at us and they're watching over us, and I can feel their spear and all this stuff, you know. I mean, it's just getting out of hand.
Absolutely.
And if that's the case, there's a lot more people in heaven. There's not everybody going to go to heaven, but if everybody dies, nobody is going to heaven.
Most people think it's a pretty big gate, but yeah. I've seen the you know, the dimensions, and it's pretty narrow from what I understand. But yes, you see a lot of that of, oh, he's looking down on us. No, he's not. He might be looking up, but he ain't looking down.
That's what God does.
Yeah. Anything else for Clue this evening? I appreciate you being here, your comments, your patience, your kindness. That's all I got.